because we want all the little boys and girls to be up here. Kiddos, come on up. Oh, I'm so glad that you ladies are here. Aha! Great. Oh, there's more coming. Praise the Lord. Hey, you know what? You know the Bible teaches that we're like a family. Oh, that's a good thing. So if let's just look around here at each other, okay? And I want you to notice what's up here. The hair. So what do you think? Who has longer hair? The girl? You? Me, she says, I do. Yeah, you know, it looks like if we were to compare, now Dan's, you know, he's definitely on our side here. If we were to add up the total amount of hair, the girls win. They have longer hair. So, who gives the girls longer hair?
God.
God does. You know, the Bible actually says that. The Bible says that God gives to the ladies longer hair. Why is that?
It's better.
Mm-hmm. What he said. Interpretation, Jason? Interpretation? Ninja Turtle, maybe? Why did God give the girls longer hair? Does anybody know?
No.
I mean, that's a hard question. I mean, I was not expecting somebody to say, oh, I know. Do you know why?
Time.
No. You know what? We're going to talk about that today. It's a hard question. But God gives the ladies longer hair. You know what the Bible says? For a covering. For a beautiful covering on the hair. And he says, and you know, if they just go and for no reason cut it all off, that's probably not the best thing. Now, sometimes they have to cut it off, right? But if they just go, if you go home today and you take a scissor and cut all your hair, please don't do that. That would not be a good thing. Not a good thing, because God has blessed you to have your hair for a covering. All right, let's pray. Dear God, what a great God you are. Thank you for the little ways that you've made the boys and girls different, and one of those is hair. And I just pray that you'd bless us today as we study this seemingly unimportant topic, which is very important for the church. Bless these children, bless Pastor Jerry and Wanda as they teach them, and bless us as we study your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Off you go. Thanks for coming. Well, let's take our Bibles and open together to 1 Corinthians 11. Again, I remember when Pastors Dan and Jerry, I said, what do you think I ought to preach on next? And we were in Psalms at the time. And they said, oh, we think 1 Corinthians. And I remember my first thought was, oh no. Because I knew that chapter 7 was in there. But hey, we've made it past chapter 7. But I also knew that chapter 11 was in there. And this afternoon, I'm going to go home and rejoice and relax that we've made it through 1 Corinthians 11, verses 2 through 16. That's where we are this morning. 1 Corinthians 11, 2 through 16. These are difficult verses. They're difficult verses for the most brilliant commentators that are out there. Everyone struggles with these. I am going to tell you what I believe God is teaching here. And of course, I want you to see the application. If you're visiting today, or if you're newer to the church, something you should know about this church is we believe very firmly in the Bible. And we believe that all of Scripture, all of it, even the most difficult verses, are God-breathed and profitable for all of us. And even difficult texts like this one are well worth our attention. So let's pay attention. Grab a Bible if you haven't yet. Open it up, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to study verses 2 through 16. The Word of God says this, and Paul says this to the church. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman who prays or prophesies with head uncovered dishonors her head, for that is one and the same as if her head were shaved. For if a woman is not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it is shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God. But woman is the glory of man. We're in verse 8. For man is not from woman, but woman from man. Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. For as woman came from man, even so man also comes through woman, but all things are from God. Judge among yourselves, is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. But if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. Pretty clear, I think. Why don't we just pray and no. Not all that clear. Let's begin with that last phrase in verse 16, the churches of God. Let's start there, since we are one of the churches of God. You know, God in His grace and in His love, for His glory, for our own good, and for the furtherance of the gospel, God has established churches. Churches are local gatherings of believers in Jesus Christ. And we gather together for worship, we gather together to do work, and we gather together to do the Lord's work, which is the work of making disciples and the work of loving one another. Now, as Christians gather together in local churches, true or false, they never have any disagreements. It's like a miracle. Never do churches disagree. Well, that's false. That is false. The fact is that at times Christians disagree on things even like the length of hair. Even like that. The question is, what exactly are we to do when we disagree? And the answer is, we are to endeavor, that means strive hard, we are to endeavor to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. That is what Paul is doing here. And in fact, in the first verse, he says, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. And in verses 2 through 16, we have the example of Paul in dealing with a difficult issue in the church. And he is pursuing peace. That's what I'm going to pursue today. You know what? Praise God, we already have peace. Now he begins with praise, verse 2. Now I praise you, brethren. Take a look. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things. You haven't forgotten me. You haven't forgotten my ministry there among you. And you keep, or you hold fast to, the traditions just as I delivered them to you. What are some traditions that they were holding fast to? From the context, they were gathering themselves together. That's a good tradition. They were praying together in their public gatherings. That's another good apostolic tradition. And some among them were prophesying. The equivalent today is preaching and teaching the Word of God. And that means others were hearing the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And they were being encouraged, edified, comforted, equipped for ministry. That's a good tradition. And you know what? By way of application, I praise you. You are keeping the tradition. By coming to church, by praying together, by listening to the Word of God, teaching it maybe to others, teaching it to your children and your families, praise God. We are keeping, holding fast to the traditions delivered to us. There's one more, by the way. They were also partaking of the Lord's table, which we'll talk about next week and the following. That, too, is an apostolic tradition which we keep. But, and verse 3 says, but, the church at Corinth was keeping a tradition which is not to be a church tradition. They were dividing. And for this, Paul says, I do not praise you. Look at verse 17. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together for the, not for the better, but for the worse. Well, how can you come together as a church for the worse? Verse 18, for first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. They were dividing on certain issues in the church. They were contending with one another, striving with one another. And do you know, one of the questions over which there was contention and division was the one that we read in verse 13. Look again. 1 Corinthians 11:13. This was a question causing contention in the church. What does it say? Judge among yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Pretty clear question? No. Is the answer crystal clear? Pretty clear, but all the explanations are not clear. My goal this morning, Lord willing, is to give you clarity on the question, number one, and this is the outline, on the question, number two, on the answer, and number three, on the application for us. Pretty simple. Question, answer, application. Let's look first at the question. What was the question that was causing contention in the church at Corinth? Verse 13, is it proper, is it appropriate, is it fitting for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? To pray to God where, when? I mean, what is the context here? Very clearly, there is a context. And the context was, in the church setting, when the church comes together, that's verses 17 and 18, also in verse 5, Paul makes it clear, the context was, in the church setting, when everyone was gathered together, certain women in the church were conducting prayers, leading the church in prayers. How? Well, verse 13 says, with, in the English translation, it says, with her head uncovered. That is not what it says in the Greek. And I know Brother John Rouse would back me up on this. It literally reads like this. Fitting or proper is it for a woman uncovered to pray to God or to conduct prayers to God? I mean, already that sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? For a woman uncovered, it sounds like she's not completely covered. Paul worded it that way on purpose. Because to him and to some in the church, it was like, ah, she's not fully covered. By what? There's the million-dollar question. There's the million-dollar question. If you if there were a million commentators, you'd probably read half a million different views. Some say she wasn't completely covered by some kind of cloth or silk or who knows what material, head covering. I say the best one to answer that question is the Apostle Paul. And if you just keep reading, you'll get his answer. Look what he says. Let Paul himself tell us. Context is king. You've heard that 100 times. Keep reading. Verse 14. Doesn't even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. Let's work through these verses while we're here. Doesn't even nature itself teach you? In other words, what he means is this. Doesn't the way things are around you, just the natural order of things, I mean, if you had a little children's church time and looked to see whose hair was longer, doesn't even nature itself tell you that if a grown man, that's what he's talking about in verse 14, if a grown man has long hair, literally, if he wears his hair long like a woman, that's what he means. Doesn't even what you observe around you tell you that if a grown man wears his hair long like a woman, what, that increases his respectability among men? No, it doesn't. It decreases his respectability among men. Now, certainly that was true in first century Corinth. Like it or not, a man with long hair was associated with homosexuality. But let me ask you today, let's imagine that a young man comes to all of us as the church for some advice. He's just about to graduate college. We have some young men who are about to graduate college or soon. That young man comes in the midst of us as the church and says, listen, I got a big interview coming up. I want to make a good first impression. Let's work top down. What should I do about my hair? Quick show of hands, how many of you would say in this big interview he should wear his hair real long? That's what I thought. And you know what? He probably wouldn't come to all of us for advice. He'd probably go to the internet, which I did. And I read a lot of advice about men's hair in interviews. I could not find anyone recommending that men should wear their hair long. This is typical. This is from about.com. And I like the way this is worded. With unemployment up, these days good jobs are hard to come by. It pays to make a great impression in the interview. Gillette, heard of Gillette? Razors, right? Gillette commissioned a survey of more than 500 human resource professionals, and 90% of them said that being well-groomed is key to setting yourself apart from the less tidy competitors. When it comes to hair, unless you are interviewing for a highly artistic field, go conservative with the hair. This is to men. Yes, that means get a traditional haircut, and there's a link you can click on images for a traditional haircut. Or a classic taper, and you can click on that and go to classic taper so that you won't be confused. Or the basic businessman's haircut, and you can click on that. That's pretty cool. I mean, there's some neat things about the internet. Yes, go short on the sides and back. Now, that is typical of the advice you read for men going into an interview. Why is that? Here's why. Because nature itself does teach you, even to this day, that generally speaking, if a grown man wants to be perceived as dignified, honorable, mature, wise, etc., he's not going to wear his hair long like a woman. The issue in the church was not the men wearing their hair long like a woman. The issue in the church was the women wearing their hair short like a man. Look at the next verse. 1 Corinthians 11:15. But if a woman has long hair, if she wears her hair long covering her head, what effect does that have? It's a glory to her. For her hair is given to her for a covering. If a woman wears her hair long, that's not a dishonor to her. It's a glory to her. It has a positive effect on how she's perceived. It's a praiseworthy thing. Why? Because her hair is given to her by God for a covering. For something that goes around her head like a cloak, and it covers her. How long are we talking here? Well, longer than a guy's. That's all. You know, maybe shoulder length or basically so that she is distinguished from men as a woman. And maybe her long hair is curled. That's okay. What was happening was women in the church who were setting the example for other women to follow were wanting to look like the guys. And Paul is arguing she's dishonoring herself to do that, and it was causing contention. You can just imagine. I mean, let's imagine the opposite. Let's imagine that I came up here. You know, you can buy a hat these days that has long hair down the back. You've seen those kind of funny things? Now, let's imagine I came behind the pulpit and put a hat on with the long flowing hair. You know, at first you'd laugh, but if I did that week after week, I mean, after a while, you're going to talk amongst yourselves, hey, what is he doing? What's he doing? It will not make my honor ratings go up. If our president or the men in Congress start wearing the hats, make it look like they have long hair, that will have a negative impact on their respectability. If the ladies start immediately grooming themselves with men's haircuts, doesn't have a positive effect. So, look again at the question. Verse 13, look again at the question that was causing contention. Is it proper for a woman in the church to conduct prayers in public worship uncovered, meaning with her hair so short she looks like a man? What was Paul's answer? I'll give you a hint. One word, two letters, begins with N. No. I mean, Paul is going to argue here that in his mind, although he's going to say to the church, judge among yourselves, but Paul is saying, you know, in my mind, the ladies should stop trying to look like the men. That was the issue. So let's look at Paul's arguments and his answer. Verse 3. But I want you to know that the head of every man, verse 3, 1 Corinthians 11:3, the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. All right, I want you to think for a moment about your body. Where's your head? It's on top. That's where your head is. The head occupies a position higher. That's what he means. Okay? Your head occupies the higher position on the body. Well, Paul says, I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. That means Christ occupies a position in God's economy, in the church. Christ occupies a position higher than any man. True or false? It's true. Okay? You say, well, what does that tell me? Well, that ought to tell you the last thing any man should want to do in the church is to dishonor Christ. Why? Because he occupies a higher position. Then he says, middle of verse 3, the head of woman is man. What's he saying? In God's economy, God's design, in the church, man occupies a higher position than woman. What? Are you saying that the women are inferior to the men? Read the last line. The head of Christ is God. Is Christ in any way, even just a smidgen, is Christ in any way inferior to God? No, he is not. Not in the slightest. But I'll tell you what it does mean, that God the Father is the head over Christ the Son. The last thing that Jesus Christ would ever do is anything that would dishonor God the Father. And the last thing that any man in the church should ever do is something that dishonors Christ. And the last thing that any woman should ever do in the church is something that dishonors man. And I'm not talking about just her husband. I'm talking about something that dishonors mankind. And Paul is now going to go on to explain this. Verse 4. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. Only, and I know that Brother John would back me up on this, it does not say having his head covered. It says having down from the head. Every good commentary that deals with the Greek text is going to tell you that it says this. Every man praying or prophesying, having down from the head, dishonors his head. What do you mean down from the head? The best one to answer that is the Apostle Paul. And if you just keep reading, he'll tell you, having long hair hanging down from the head. Was the issue in the church men having long hair hanging down from the head? No. He's stating this first because he thinks this is going to be easier for you to agree with. And I think all the guys would have said, yeah, we all know that. I mean, if pastor comes in and he's wearing long hair like a woman, his ratings go down. He is seen as less honorable, less respectable. Long hair, again, was considered in that culture to be effeminate. Trying to look like a woman, which men didn't want to do. And men, you should not want to do. You know, I think there are jeans that guys can wear today that to me make them look effeminate. There's a name for those things. It's ridiculous. Why should a man try to make himself appear as a woman? His respectability among the grown, mature men only goes down. And if I start, you know, getting a bunch of earrings and try to wear some eyeshadow and come in look like the guy from Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, Johnny Depp, my respectability as a pastor goes down. Now, Paul has said this because it's true, but also so that the women might understand. Verse 5. But every woman who prays or prophesies with head uncovered like a man, from what he just said, every woman who prays or prophesies with head uncovered like a man dishonors her head for one reason, because that is one and the same as if her head were shaved. Paul knows that in the Corinthian culture, a woman with a super short haircut like a man is viewed in the same category as a woman whose head is shaved. She just looks like she had her head shaved and then it grew out a little bit. And a woman with hair like a man in that culture was not looked upon with dignity and respect. Now listen, he is not saying that's fair. He's not saying that's nice that people look upon her that way, just that it's a fact. Is it a fact today that people categorize other people? All the time. Yes. Should that matter to you? It should if you're an ambassador for the gospel. It sure should. In fact, notice the test that Paul proposes. I laugh here because he had just said that he tries to please all men in all things. He can't be pleasing too many people with this little test. But it does make the point. Verse 6. For if a woman is not covered, in other words, he says, let's take a woman who's trying to look like a man, and so she doesn't have her head covered with hair. She's cut her hair like a man's. Well, hey, let her go all the way. Wants to look like a man? Let her be shorn. That is a word for shearing sheep. It means get out the buzzers, get out the clippers, get out the razor, and let her go all the way to a man's haircut. I mean, come on. This is a little challenge here. The Greek scholar A.T. Robertson says, Paul uses such strong language here because he knew the effect on a woman's reputation in Corinth if she were to do this. She was seen as a lewd woman. Did you know that in first century Corinth, a woman with hair cut real short like a man, you know how she was viewed? In that culture, when a prostitute was caught in prostitution, they shaved her head. And whether her hair had just been shaved or whether it had been shaved 2 months ago and it's just growing out, it's like the scarlet letter. It's like everybody sees and everybody goes. The last thing you do in a culture like that is cut your hair to look like a woman who had been a prostitute and caught. Do we like that people make such associations in the culture? No. Do people make them? Yes. Does it matter if we are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Yes. I'll never forget in Russia one time, and this isn't Denise's fault, She cut her hair over there, and she cut my hair really short. I wanted it cut short. Summer's coming. I thought I'm going to look cool like a Marine, you know? In our culture, guy with a short haircut is what? Tough guy. Marine. Military guy. And I got my hair cut real short because summer was coming. And the first time one of the leading women in the church saw me, she goes, "Oh, Zachem." Zachem means, "Why did you do that? Zachem, why did you do that?" I'm like, "What?" She says, "Why did you cut your hair like a prisoner?" I'm like, "What are you talking about? I thought it looked cool." She said, "Don't you know, Ivan Petrovich, that in our culture, a crew cut is, it's not one of the few, one of the proud. It's a prisoner. It's a convict. Your haircut says convict." And you know what? Over there, when guys go into the military, they hate that they get their haircut short. Why? Because they grew up knowing the culture is a guy with a short haircut is an ex-con. They hated it. They still do. You know what? Do you think it would have been wise for me to ignore what she was telling me? No, I was there as a missionary. I'm there to minister the gospel. I don't want people to disrespect me. I don't want to dishonor myself or my head. And I don't want to dishonor Christ in the church. I don't want people talking about me. What did he do? What was he in for? How many years did he do? Where's his tattoos? Because guys with tattoos were also ex-cons over there. No, I never got a crew cut in Russia again, nor will I. You know, we're going back to Russia in June, Lord willing, and I ain't getting a haircut on June 7th. Probably end of May, make sure it's grown out a little. It's different. It's a different culture. Well, nor will I wear my hair like a woman. Right? Verse 7. "For a man indeed ought not to cover his head," from the context, "with long hair like a woman." Why? Because he's the image and glory of God. He's to represent God in ways that bring God honor and glory. Remember what we studied before? Whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. Cut your hair to the glory of God. Get a hairstyle to the glory of God. And for men, that means look like a man. Don't wear your hair long like a woman. He ought not to cover his head with long hair that way. He's the image and glory of God. But woman is the glory of man. Women, that is a good thing. He just said a very good thing. Man, all of man, is the image and glory of God. That's all of us. Women has an added thing. She's the glory of man. You're to make mankind look as good as mankind can look. Let's face it, guys. The ladies look better than the men. And we all say that, right? Oh, and she's a lot better looking. The ladies are a lot better looking than us. And part of their beauty is their hair. I mean, it's just a fact. Any guy in here who wants to look as beautiful as you ladies look with your hair, we can't even do it. You know, the guys that try, that is futility. And Paul's saying, look, don't do that. She's the glory of man. A.T. Robertson, again, he says, "Man was the culminating work of God's creation. Woman is the culminating work of man." You're the highest it gets, ladies. And therefore, the last thing you want to do in your looks is take away one of the things that is your glory. And that is your hair. Doesn't mean you can't have a short hairstyle. We'll get to that in a minute. But notice what he says. Verse 8, "For man is not from woman, but woman from man." She's the culminating work of God's creation. "Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man." Two references to Genesis 2, and you can't argue. Woman was the culminating work in creation. And she came from man, and she was made for man. The last thing she should want to do is something that is against mankind. Truth is, God created man first and then the woman from man, and he created the woman for the man to complement him, not to compete against him. And you wonder, what was the motivation that certain women had to look like a man? Well, I want to be like the men. The same reason that women want to be, you know, the special forces today. I want to be like the guys. I don't want anyone telling me I can't be like the guys. Verse 10, for this reason or on this basis, the woman ought to have... And now your Bible says, in verse 10, a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Anybody have a symbol of in italics? You probably do, because a symbol of is not in the original. In fact, it reads like this. For this reason, or it could be on account of this, or on this basis, she ought to have a right over her head. It is the exact same language that Paul used earlier in chapter 9 to speak of his rights. Chapter 9, verse 4, do we have no right to eat and drink? Yes. Chapter 9, verse 5, do we have no right? The key words, echo in the Greek, and exousia. Those same two words, having a right to do something. So here in 1 Corinthians 11, 10, Paul is affirming that a woman has a right over her own head. And a woman might say, well, don't I have a right over my own head? Yes, you do. This gets back to Christian liberty. Hey, ladies, you have a right to decide how to wear your hair. What Paul is saying, however, is you ought to have that right in view of what he just said about your place in creation. And in view of what he just said about you shouldn't want to dishonor yourself or mankind. And so he's saying, verse 10, in light of this, or on this basis, a woman ought to have a right over her head because of the angels. Well, that's a little strange, isn't it? Except that he was just talking about creation. And in the creation, who saw that women were the culminating work of God? Angels. And who saw and knew that women were being made for man? The angels. And who sees what all we do in our corporate worship? The angels. And who are the ministering servants of God sent forth to render service for those who will inherit salvation? The angels. Ladies, should you ever want to do anything to offend the angels? No. But if you try to make yourself look like a man so that no one can tell you're a woman, you're probably offending man. You're dishonoring yourself. And what are you telling the angels? That's a pretty strong argument. Nevertheless, verse 11, on the other side of this, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. Aren't we equals in Christ? Yes, we are. And that could be what women are saying. But we're equals. Hey, we're not arguing that. Neither is man without the woman, neither is the woman without the man. And then he explains that. For as woman came from man, even so man also comes through woman. But all things are from God. Equality. Right? Equality. So Paul is saying, yes, a woman has a right over her own head. Yes, she is equal in the Lord. But you know what? If you ask me, if you ask Paul, those ladies who are trying to look like men and then lead in the church are only dishonoring themselves and mankind. This isn't good for them. This isn't good for the gospel. This isn't for the glory of God. But all that said, third, let's look at the command. One command in the passage. Verse 13. Judge for yourselves. That is not an ongoing present tense command. It doesn't mean judge and keep judging. This is aorist command. It means you need to judge this now, church. This is what Paul is saying to Corinth. Why? Because I don't want the contention to continue. That's not an option. We cannot go on dividing over this issue. He says, church, you need to judge this one among yourselves. This is a call to make a decision in light of what he has said. Make the decision. So now let's talk about application. Very briefly. First, the command. Judge among yourselves. Good news, beloved. We already have. We already have. Long ago, when this church was founded, those who founded the church, Chuck Anderson and others, never have they thought that 1 Corinthians 11 was commanding that all women wear some kind of material head covering. You shouldn't start now. You'd only create contention. I hopefully understood that I'm telling you, I don't even think this is about women wearing head coverings of any kind. It's about hair. And women who are trying to look like the men in the worship service and then being the leaders up front, influencing other women, hey, ladies, we ought to try to look like men. Good news is, we do not teach or believe that women ought to wear head coverings. By application, however, we do believe the women should not to try to make themselves look like men. And none of our leading women do that. Our leading women are ladies. Praise the Lord. And they are beautiful. Praise the Lord. Nor do we really have it where the women prophesy, you know, different church setting there. But we do have women who lead women's Bible studies, who teach the children and the youth. Praise God. We have women who look like women, who aren't trying to compete with the men, and nor should they. Second, is it true today that if you are a man and a leader in the church, and if you want to be well received, given the choice between short hair and long, short manly haircut is the better option? Isn't that still true today? Or do you think that it would be good for pastors to be effeminate? Should they wear their hair long, get all their ear piercings, and come in a pink shirt and a purple suit coat looking like an Easter egg? That's not wise. That does not increase their respectability among the serious men. It just doesn't. On the other hand, isn't it true even today that if you're a woman leading in the church in some way and you want to be well received by the other women and the men, wouldn't you do well to look like a woman? Sure, you would. And you know what? I think there's no controversy here on that issue too. We are blessed. Women, you are beautiful. In 6 years, I have never once thought or heard of anyone thinking that we have some woman who's trying to look like a man and compete for the authority in the church. Not once. Woo-hoo, hallelujah. That's good news. Third, Dan began our service today by saying, isn't God great? Betty played a medley of songs, one of which was, what a friend we have in Jesus. God is great. What a friend we have in Jesus. You know what's going on here? God wants his children to get along. That's what's going on. Are you a parent? Don't you want your kids to get along? Sure you do. And if suddenly there's some issue or bone of contention among the kids, don't you want to help them resolve it? Sure. That's what's going on here. God, in his grace, by his Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, is working hard to get the church to agree so that they don't keep dividing over this issue. Because when we divide, it's bad for us. It's bad for the gospel. Again, I say, praise the Lord. Our Heavenly Father has maintained unity in this body for 6 years running. Praise God. What a great Father we have. What a great Father. Fourth, and finally, and I don't know what time it is because the clock back there is wrong, but I'm sure I'm out of time. Fourth and finally, verse 16. But if anyone seems to be contentious, if anyone loves arguments and wants to win an argument, nope, we don't have that tradition. We have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. We're not going to argue over this. If you have 10 reasons why you think I'm wrong today, why you think that this is really about a head covering and the ladies ought to wear cloth head coverings, nope, I'm not going to argue with you. Not going to argue with you. You can tell me all your 10 reasons why you think that this is a head covering of some kind, but nah, praise God. We're not going to argue. Ladies, I don't think you, somebody asked me recently, do I think the ladies should start wearing head coverings? No. No, I think you just cause contention. We're not going to divide. By the grace of God, we are blessed to be enjoying all the traditions we talked about earlier, prayer, public gatherings, preaching and teaching, partaking of the Lord's table, and all that and unity. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Let's pray. Mm-hmm. Father, we praise you and thank you for your word. Thank you for this passage full of interesting things. And I hope that I have honored you in preaching it. I hope I have exalted you. and edifies your people. And I pray, Father, may there continue to be a sweet spirit of love and unity in this church. We know that love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek to violate cultural traditions. Lord, let us continue loving one another and maintaining the distinction between the men and the women in the church and seeking in all things to preserve the unity that we have. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.